Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
All right, my boys, my girls, boys and girls, welcome to The Balance Presents Radio Speed Talk. I tell you what, sometimes things just sneak up on you and you're just not really expecting it. Well, that's right, my minions. You have arrived here at the Balance Radio Network on Sunday afternoon, immediately following the Colts game. We do this every Sunday afternoon. We talk racing for an hour with the guys over at Radio Speed Talk. We talk with Cliff. We talk with Kitty and their guest and what they've got lined up. They've got a great show lined up for you. As you know, Cliff was on the show yesterday, and Kitty was on the show as well. We talked about what's going on today's show. Well, I tell you what, as always, we'll give you a recap of what went on with the Colts. I tell you what, the better question is, what didn't go on with the Colts? I tell you what, last week we looked at the Colts come back from a huge deficit in the second half to beat, above all teams, the Green Bay Packers. Then we look at today, a team which, by all comparison, is probably not near as good as the Packers, just really let it fall apart. Sean Green ran for a career high of 161 yards and three touchdowns. I tell you what, it was just an unbelievable loss. Against New York Jets, 35-9 was your final out there in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and MetLife Stadium. Quarterback Mark Sanchez, quarterback Tim Tebow. Wait, I mean quarterback Mark Sanchez made a few big plays, and even the Jets their defense. They know we look terrible on both sides of the ball. Andrew Luck and the Colts offense. New York snapped a two-game losing streak that had many wondering if the season was about to spiral out of control. Well, I tell you what, for at least week six, as far as Sanchez, he was in absolute total control, which makes you wonder what that the Jets are going to do over there. Of course, we'll talk about that in greater detail right here on the Balance Radio Network on Saturday during Around the NFL and Fantasy Football Huddle. Well, makes you wonder if they're going to hang on to Sanchez or move on over there to Tim Tebow. Indianapolis trailed 21-6 at the half and just couldn't erase such a big deficit for the second straight week after coming back from 18 points to beat the Green Bay Packers last Sunday. So just a very disappointing loss the Indianapolis Colts as this young team begins to rebuild and find themselves. Obviously, we had some key injuries that were out as well, which we'll obviously get into more detail over on radio, on The Balance as well. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, we're going to jump into some we're just going to jump into some speed talk here and let the guys over at Radio Speed Talk let us regroup here and just get our bearings after such a loss. Without further ado, guys, it's my friends over at Radio Speed Talk. Here comes Cliff, here comes Kenny and gang right over on Radio Speed Talk.
It's time for Speed Talk with host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard.
He's our Joe Biden.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Hey, 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 race fans, we're back. Kenny Bard, Cliff Tanner, and Tiny behind the magical board, as you might want to say. Coming back at you with another great edition of Speed Talk. All kinds of things going on. It's going to be a very fast show. The three of us had an opportunity to go to a function that for Wish for Our Heroes. We're going to dedicate this show too, Wish for Our Heroes. We had some good interviews there. Great time. They had a bunch of entertainment there. Silent auction, all kinds of things going. But it's for a good cause. Wish for Our Heroes. You can go catch them on Facebook or go to wishforourheroes.com and donate, man. These guys do nothing but great work for veterans and people in need and all that. And while you're at it, go to radiospeedtalk.com. And you can also go to facebook.com/radiospeedtalk. And then, Kenny, you're at?
I am sitting at the Shepherd's House doing a studio interview with you.
There we go. All right. No,
at KennyBar52 on Twitter.
Right. And I will be at Radio Speed Talk, too. And, oh, man, the Twitter's been busy again this weekend with everything going on in Talladega. We're going to talk about that right off the bat. But before we go into that, I want to talk about Fast Jack Beckman, Kenny. A 3.989. All he had to do was run a 4.029 the rest of the way. He lost in the final, but he becomes the fastest ever, and he gets 20 bonus points. Can you imagine going that fast, getting down that quick in a funny car? We know a Top Fuel can do it, but a funny car.
Well, let's see. Can I hold my breath for 4 seconds? Yeah. Can I scream like a girl for 4 seconds while holding my breath? Probably. Can I have my eyes wide open? Yeah. But I couldn't do that. Maybe you could, but I couldn't. That's just really, really fast. I mean, he had a nice dry track. They had the tune just right. Records dropped like flies out there this weekend. The air was just right. The tuners figured it out in a hurry. And, man, they were flying all weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack Beckman got 20 bonus points, but Mike Neff won that competition, and he closed it up, the lead a little bit. But Fast Jack, man, I'm telling you, you got that Fast Jack for a reason.
And you remember what happened early in the year when Beckman and Capps teams flip-flopped?
Right.
And Beckman wasn't too happy?
Right.
I guess maybe the old man knows a little bit about what he's doing.
You know, and we touched on that a little bit when we interviewed him down at the Nationals, and he touched on that a little bit. He said he was a little upset, but he said, man, you can't ask for a better crew right now.
Yeah, I'm not mad no more.
Well, Kenny, we had a great race at Talladega, and I got to admit, and I put it on Facebook, and I've got to reply some people, and I said I wanted your opinions on what you thought about Saturday's race with the Camping Truck Series was pretty boring.
Yeah.
It really was. And it's not boring because there wasn't no wrecks. It was boring because there just wasn't much racing. And I was surprised at how many people actually said that they agreed with that and why, you know, there was a crash on the last lap. They didn't throw a caution. People were a lot upset, like we talked about before. They were upset because they didn't finish under green.
Yeah, well, you know, NASCAR's got to make the call in a heartbeat. And you're always going to have some sort of dissension. You're never going to make everybody happy. I think they made the right call. Yeah,
you got to. You're on the last lap. You're not going to come back. Right? I agree.
Right. You know, once that white flag drops, if it crashes, you don't go back to a green-white checkered.
Right.
Once they cross the stripe for the last lap, if they pile up 27 cars, that don't happen, right? it's a race.
And it should be, because it really didn't affect anything going on anyway.
Right.
You know, so, and you all know that's the rule anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my thought on that.
But I am with a fan. I'd rather see a race to the finish, but there are times when you're just not going to race to the finish.
Well, and then we flip over to Sunday, and apparently they must have read what was going on Facebook, because they put on a show.
Oh, yeah. Four wide at the end. Four wide and, what, five deep or something? Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll get to that here in a second. But the first one I want to talk about is Kurt Busch. His last race with Phoenix. Once again, you know, he crashes. He comes down. And it really upset me this time. I mean, you know, I've got upset with him before, but this one really upset me. He had the emergency crew over there. One guy was literally, had his head almost inside the car. Kurt Busch decides to fire up his car, take off. The medical bag goes flying off of the back, and he takes off. His crew chief keeps saying, NASCAR said stop. NASCAR said stop. He keeps going. And I can understand this part. He did not have his helmet off. He took his helmet off. He couldn't hear him. Here's what got me. In the post-interview, he said, yeah, look what I've created right here, blah, blah, blah. I mean, these are kind of rephrased words. He didn't say it in this order. But essentially, NASCAR is always mad at me, and look what, you know, the circus. He had all the media people around and stuff like that. He goes, I'm just me. I just did what I do. I couldn't hear. And now they, you know, they parked me. They parked him for the rest of the day. Wasn't even allowed to work on his car. They just said, park it. You're done. So it really ticked me off. But the big thing that got me, am I rambling? You're looking at me crazy here. Go ahead. Come on.
Mama taught me that if you can't say anything nice about anybody, don't say nothing at all.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I guess that's what made me mad was that what he did. And you know, he could have seriously injured them guys.
Absolutely.
That was working on you know, making sure he
and
was okay.
And they're there for him. They're not right. there to put on a show. They're not there to impede the race. They're there to make sure he's okay and everybody's safe. And that knucklehead does what he does. Fans, go back to Cliff's blog. I don't remember when it was. I'm not going to rewrite it because I get so mad at it. But I echo every word that I wrote here about a year ago when I pirated onto Cliff's blog. The Bush brothers just make me angry, and that's it. I'm not going to go anywhere because I'm just going to get mad.
Yeah, well, I was too, and I was even screaming at the TV, and I hate doing that, but I was screaming at the TV, and unfortunately, it was taped, so he didn't really hear me anyway. So
as long as it don't scream back at you, you're good. Yeah.
But anyway, good racing, a lot of leads going on. I was really proud, I got to tell you, early going. Trevor Bayne, everybody says he's done, he's washed up. He did a heck of a job, got up there. Unfortunately, he had some issues with tires, and he kind of went down to the wayside. He was up there for a while. One really surprised me, although he's pretty good at restrictor plate racing, but you haven't heard his name up front for a long time. He was up quite a few times. Casey Mears did a tremendous job there. Reagan Smith ended up seventh, but that was he can thank Tony Stewart for that. Coming into the last lap, Michael Waltrip's making a charge, and Tony's in the lead, tries to come down and block, and a fiasco happens.
Well, he blocked twice. The first block he threw worked.
Right.
The second block he threw didn't. And if he would have just kept his line, Kane and Waltrip were going to be gone because they had a ton of mo. They came up from the back, Dale Earnhardt, Kenny Wallace-esque,
yes.
And that was over. That was going to be a two-horse race there by the time they got to the stripe. And Tony Stewart took responsibility, but what good does that do? You've tore up 27 race cars, tons of money. You've taken flippity-flopped the standings a lot. You've basically taken Junior clear out of the picture. But if you're a car owner, and he owns his own car, do you want your race car driver to pull over and let somebody else go by? Hell no, you don't. You want him to dig and root and claw and fight for every spot he's got, and if it takes a little bit of blocking, it takes a little bit of blocking.
That's what killed Senior, though.
No, it ain't.
He was trying to block too much.
That ain't what killed Senior.
No, I know that ain't what killed it. I just had to go there.
But I had a guy ask me about that here at the house the other day, but no, I think Tony Stewart is perfectly fine doing what he did. It's a great big racing accident, and people are going to have to get over it because it happened, and they can't do anything about it anymore. He took responsibility for it. I don't know what that really means, except don't come yelling at me. I know I did bad.
Well, you know why, don't you? The only guy that did good after that was Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth, and those guys are so far out of it, it didn't really matter. But he also took out his closest competitors, including Jimmy Johnson.
Well, yeah, but Johnson still ended up, he's only 14 points out of the lead anyway, still in the second hole, so he's not out of this thing by any stretch. Everybody's, Earnhardt Jr.'s done. I've heard some of the talking heads and the pundits say, if you're not within 30 at this point, stick a fork in it. I disagree. I think we ought to go to about 50. I think about 10 points a race is makeable, upable. The problem is you still got the only guy that's out more than 50. Does that make sense? You like makeable, upable?
That's good, but you sound like Mushmouth from FAD.
But anyway. The problem is you got 10 guys in front of you that all run well. Earnhardt's down in 11th hole now, 51 out, and you just got to hope everybody has a bad race, and not all them guys are going to have a mulligan at this point. It's 5 to go, but it can happen. So I think Earnhardt's out. Harvick and Biffle are 49. Truex is 48. They're big-time long shots. Tony Stewart, just because he's Tony Stewart, I think is still viable. He's 46 in the hole. Jeff Gordon has leapt up to 6th, but he's still 42 out.
Right.
He's only gained 2 or 3 or 4 points on the leader ever since he faux-pawed way back in the first race. Boyer's, 40 down. Casey Kane jumped a couple holes up. He's 36 down. A lot of people think it's a three-horse race, Keselowski, Johnson, and Hamlin. Johnson's down 14, Hamlin's down 23. I disagree, but I'll probably will change my mind comes next week. We'll see what happens.
I believe that it's a two-horse race. I don't think Hamlin's is going to play on his head too much, but you never know. You know, that's just my opinion.
Sure.
Some of the things, Jeff Gordon comes out and he says, wow, that was the wildest finish I ever had. I don't like racing this way. But he looked at it in his rearview mirror. Dale Earnhardt Jr. came out and said, bloodthirsty. It was just bloodthirsty. If I had to drive this way every week, I wouldn't be driving anymore. Bloodthirsty. That's exactly what he said.
It's tough. It's tough to drive that way every week. Your nerves are on edge every lap, every mile. And you got to come out of there mentally exhausted just every time you come out of one of those restrictor plate shows.
Well, being around racing a lot, like you and I have been, I got to ask you, everybody complains because they had the pack racing, and everybody complained because they had the two racing. Now they got the pack racing. Now everybody's complaining. How do you make the NASCAR fan happy on a restrictor plate race?
You're not going to. It just ain't going to happen. I mean, you're not going to be able to make a majority of the fans happy. I agree that they have to slow the cars down. They can't run 230 mile an hour. They're going to just absolutely have all sorts of big time problems running that fast with the size of these cars the way they are and stuff. So they've got to do something. And when they put the restrictor plates on them, everybody's so equal. I don't know. Yeah, they tried playing with the radiator systems and the cooling systems. That helped a little bit. They changed the airflow a little bit. Now they got the new cars that they tested down there, the 2013 body styles. I don't know what they're going to do.
My last thought is, if you with what NASCAR has done with all the mile and a half, 2 mile tracks, boring races, you've got four restrictor plates, three, four short track. You got to do something, man. You got to break it up.
Idea. Give me a D. Give me an I. Give me an R. Give me a T.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jeff Wells, the founder of Pushcar Heroes. Be right back. Back, Kenny Barr, Tiny Behind the Board, Cliff Tanner coming at you. And again, like we promised, we're up in Warsaw, Indiana at ML Motorsports, the number 70 for Johanna Long. And they met up with a group called Wish for Our Heroes. And Kenny, we had an opportunity to talk to them up at Michigan as they sponsored her car at that time. And with you being at the Shepherd's House and working with homeless veterans and stuff, we've really got behind this organization. They had a Red, White, and You barbecue up there. They had Colin Ray up there and lots of bands, lots of things to raise money for these guys. And we got to meet some pretty cool people.
Yeah, they had a comedian there, and I didn't get his name. Got his
Bobby.
Picture. Bobby.
I cannot remember the last name.
Well, Bobby's been in a hell of an accident, and he's got all sorts of reconstructive skin grafts and stuff, and half his ears are missing.
It was an IED.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
But I tell you what, he's funnier than him.
Yes.
And he doesn't let that bother him a bit. I mean, he's right out there with everybody, and you absolutely positively got to admire that man. We've got a picture of him and Tracy together, and we're going to blow it up and hang it up somewhere in here as an inspiration.
Awesome.
Say, look, guys, this guy's got it a lot worse than you, and look what he's made out of his life.
Right.
Stay sober. Stay away from the drugs. Think of something positive, and look what this guy's doing, traveling the country as a comedian.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... just an awesome thing going on, and Jeff Wells, we met him. He's actually the founder. We got to talk to his second and third command up in Michigan, and Jeff wasn't there, unfortunately. But, man, what a gentleman this guy is. Young?
Much younger than I thought.
Yes, yeah. I was really surprised. But he did this dedicated to his father because he said, well, you'll hear it in the interview. So let's go ahead and go to the interview. All right, you got Cliff Tanner, Kenny Barr coming at you out of DML Motorsports. And Wish for Our Heroes, Red, White, and You. We're with the founder, Jeff Wells. Jeff, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So how's it going, man? Tell us a little bit about what's happening here today.
Oh, boy, we're just really excited to be here. It's an unbelievable town. It's an unbelievable group of people. It's an unbelievable team, ML Motorsports team, unbelievable ownership, Dane and Mary Louise Miller. It's the team itself, Johanna Long, the driver, and this entire community, Winona Lake, Warsaw. It's just been phenomenal, and we're honored to be here. All the troops, all of our volunteers, we're just so honored to be here.
Well, we're also happy to get involved with you guys. As a matter of fact, you know, we talked to some of you guys up in Michigan, but tell us a little bit about your story and how you got this thing going.
Well, Wish for Our Heroes obviously is the name of our organization, and we launched 3 years ago on November 2nd, so November 2nd, 2009. We did so in honor of my dad, retired Marine First Sergeant Thomas G. Wells. After he passed away, we had always talked about doing something like this, and actually, literally the last 2 weeks that he was alive, in the evenings, I would put together a business plan, basically, to try to figure out how it is that we were going to do this. And literally, we did all the 501c3 paperwork ourselves. We didn't have an accountant. We didn't have an attorney. We did it. And, you know, the purpose was to establish an organization that focuses on not just wounded military, not just military that fall in extreme circumstances, but just hardworking, everyday military members of all branches that face a struggle. And that's what we did. That's why we put it together. That's how we put it together. And we try to help as many as we possibly can.
Well, obviously, things like this are trial and error, but you seem to be pretty successful at it.
Well, to date, we've raised almost $1.5 million. And again, that's been mostly $5, $10, $20. It's donations. It's just amazing. We are a very blue-collar charity. We don't have any large donors. We don't have any humongous corporations that donate money. It's just a lot of people that are very passionate about helping our military members, and they'll do anything to do so. And so far we've granted 1,226 wishes across 46 states and 4 foreign countries.
Just 46 states?
But we're slacking. Hey, we're flat out slacking. I mean, Mary Louise told me earlier, she asked me the same question. She said, only 46 states. She said, my gosh. So anyway, we're working on that. We're going to fix that.
But guys, don't the foreign countries count for like 2 or something? I mean, you got to get a bonus for that.
Oh, sure, I agree with that.
Well, I keep wanting to grant the wish in Hawaii. But no, I personally, but no.
Now the truth comes out.
it's been a lot of fun. And honestly, we're going to keep going. We were talking about this last night. We're going to keep going until we've helped everybody that needs help. So, you know, now we're a fairly new organization. We're a fairly small organization. But we're not going to just, you know, sit by and be satisfied with that. I mean, we want to continue to hit this as hard as we possibly can. We want more volunteers. We want passionate volunteers like we already have. And we're going to keep doing it until we're able to help everybody. Every single military member that needs help, we want to help them.
Tell everybody out there how they can get involved.
Our website is www.wishforourheroes.org. Our Facebook site, you can just search Wish for Our Heroes and it'll pop up. And then our Twitter is the @ and then Wish, the number 4, the letter R, and then Heroes.
Well, he's better at Twitter than I am because I can't figure all that slack.
It took me a long, long, long time to figure it out. And that was the urging of my wife. And I still haven't entirely figured it out. But I do know the address now, at least.
Talk a little bit about how you got involved with ML Motorsports and where you guys got to today.
Well, that's just a very special story. We've had a lot of organizations, obviously, that we've worked with in the last couple years, but I feel like with the ML Motorsports relationship that we were sort of destined to, I know it sounds kind of corny, we were sort of destined to find each other because we actually met ML Motorsports about a year ago. So about this time last year, last November, we had met Billy. And Billy just took an immediate interest on behalf of the entire team and their ownership in helping our military. And so we started talking about how we could do it. And next thing you know, Billy called and he said, Mary Louise, we talked and we want to do something very special for Wish for Our Heroes. And so what's that? And he said, we want to, for 2 races in Charlotte and Daytona, we want to have the number 70 car feature Wish for Our Heroes. And that, to me, that's mind-boggling because in the past we had inquired, I don't remember what race team it was, about just putting like a small little decal on, and it was some crazy, crazy amount of money. And here, you know, Mary Louise and Billy had said, hey, we want to feature Wish for Our Heroes on the entire car. And so that was the greatest honor. To this day, that's the greatest honor that anybody's ever extended to us, bar none. Going to those races, not only did they feature Wish for Our Heroes on the cars, but they've hosted, I think last count was 86 different soldiers at various races across the country. And they will, ML will bring the soldiers in, let them hang out with the team, check out the garages, the pits, look at the car, hang out with Johanna, and on it, just make them feel like part of the team. I mean, really, it's just part of the team, part of the family.
I know you said, obviously, you don't want to stop till every wish has been granted, but where do you see yourself or the organization of Wish for Our Heroes being in maybe 5-10 years?
Well, the first year that we did this, we raised $359,000 the first year. And last year, we roughly raised about $600,000, and then this year, so we raised about $1 million. So we've almost doubled in size each year that we've done this, and we want to continue that same level of growth. We are volunteer-run, and the reason we're volunteer-run is because we want the money that does come in to all go to the troops. We don't want it to pay somebody's salary. We don't want it to end up in some administrative number. And if you look at our numbers from last year, our percentage of administrative and fundraising cost to total revenue was 4.8%. So that means 95.2% of everything that came in went back out to the troops. And for charities, I mean, many of your charities that you would name off the top, you know, they're in the 20% range or the 25% range. 10% is typically the gold standard, and we always want to be in that 4-5% range, and because that shows donors and people that the money they're donating is going where it needs to go. So to answer your original question, in 5 to 10 years, sorry, in five to ten years, we want to, raise $20 million, and we want to help 20 million soldiers. I mean, it's hard to put a number on who it is we want to help. We just want to help everybody that needs help. I know that sounds vague, but that's what we want to do.
No, it's not vague at all, and that's a goal, and that's good. I speak for Kenny when I say this, but, Speed Talk has been behind you guys since we met you all up in Michigan. If there's anything we can ever do, just let us know.
Well, you guys have been so supportive, and all we ask for when we talk to people, we don't want your money. We don't want anything other than your belief. So if you believe in what it is that we do, if you honestly believe in it, then you'll be passionate about it. When you're passionate about it, you'll spread the word. And when you spread the word, other people believe. And that is how you do something like this. You don't do it by going and saying, hey, will you give me $5? Right. We don't want people's money. We want their beliefs. That's what we want. We want people to believe in helping our military. We want to show people what the struggles are that our military goes through. And we want to keep hitting this thing. And I can tell you, as long as I'm standing here on this earth, we're not going to stop. I mean, come hell or high water, we're going to get where we need to go. So thanks to Dane and Mary Louise and Emma Motorsports and Billy and all of our volunteers and our military.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you realize it, but you just made a heck of a bumper sticker for yourself. You ought to get on there and start selling.
It's like Forrest Gump.
Jeff, I appreciate it, man. Wonderful job you're doing. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you all so much. And if you ever need anything, or most importantly, if you ever stumble on any troops that need help, let us know.
We'll do, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that was Jeff Wells again, man. I'm telling you, just a great guy. And who would have thought, you look at some of the younger generation today, and they kind of just are passe about some things. But, man, you want to talk about a passionate guy. What he's done and the things they have done in just a few short years and where they want to go with these guys is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's growing by leaps and bounds. The dollars we're talking about really kind of boggled my mind. And the way they've got it organized to the point where they're only 5% administrative costs and everything else goes to what the function really is supposed to. And what's the benchmark? National benchmark's 10%, and I've seen some of them as high as 40. They're awful. These guys were, I think, 4.8 or something. You heard it in the interview. That impressed me a lot, and it's one of the reasons we're going to stay back and behind them.
Yeah, most definitely, and as you know, and I know you are, and I know Steve is, and almost everybody I've ever talked to, I don't care whether you agree with war, I don't care what you agree with, but you know what, if we wouldn't be doing what anybody's doing, right, wrong, or different in everybody's opinion, if it wasn't for those guys...
Oh, yeah. You know, the greatest generation is starting to fade away because they're just getting old. We got Vietnam veterans, Iraqi veterans, Afghanistan veterans, and I respect everyone. I never was in the military, but I'm here. to do my part for the country and for these guys, because I think I owe everybody a little bit, you know, because, geez, I'm free and I'm fat and I'm sassy and I'm happy, and if it wasn't for that, I might be speaking Japanese or German with some of them guys doing what they did. So I always impressed, always thankful to help a veteran.
All right, man, we need to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we're going to be talking again with Billy Hutchison, and we'll talk with and some more about that. And then segment three, or the final segment, I should say, we're going to talk with the crew chief and talk about some other stuff. And do you know?
Do you know?
Yeah, there we go.
Do you know, Tiny?
I don't.
I don't either. But we're going to learn.
Wow, he spoke.
Hey, I'm impressed. He got a better voice than we do. He ought to speak more.
There we go. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, we're back. Kenny Barr, Tiny behind the boards, and Cliff coming at you, man. I'm telling you, again, Wish for Our Heroes Sunday was pretty awesome. And we're going to go, like I said, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to go in pretty quickly here and go to Billy Hutchison, who is the marketing director for the number 70 team, and see what happens here. So listen what he's got to say, because, man, who'd have thought he had to work as hard as he did? Well, here's Billy.
Radio Speed Talk, Cliff Tanner, Kenny Barr. We are at the Red, White, and You. What is this thing? I forget the even title. Red, White, White, and You Barbecue for the benefit of the military. And we are blessed to have Billy Hutchison, Director of Marketing for ML Motorsports. Billy, tell us a little bit about what you have to do for the race team and the challenges you face on a daily and weekly and annual basis for racing.
Well, I am the director of marketing. I tell you what, I work with trying to get sponsorships, and it's a challenge on a daily basis. I joke around with the guys. I think I probably have the hardest job out there. So sponsorships don't come easy. Wish for Our Heroes, I got to talk a little bit about it. These guys, they promote our team like you wouldn't believe. We got involved with them back in March and in April, and I just found out actually this weekend that we're the only NASCAR team that they reached out to, and we were the only. I mean, we responded immediately and you know wanted to get involved with them, and so those guys really promote our team, which is really big. You know, we're a small team, and it means a lot when you got the military behind you supporting you and supporting Johanna and Dana Mary Louise. It means a lot. So I'm starting to get some calls from companies and stuff like that. So the whole organization and the involvement with them, and Johanna as our driver, has started to help things a little bit. But it's tough. It's really, really tough. And you know, anybody out there that wants to learn a little bit more about ML Motorsports and have a great opportunity to become a sponsor for us, just get a hold of me. I don't think you're going to find a better team in NASCAR than what we have.
No, I can tell us how.
What's that?
Yeah,
how do
they get
a
hold of me?
Just get a hold of me. I'm sorry, yeah, just get a hold of me. You call my. I don't want to give my cell phone number out to everybody.
No, don't do that.
So, but MLRacing.com or BHutchinson.com. That's BHutchinson at MLRacing.com. So get a hold of me, and man, I'm pretty sure we can work a deal.
Now, I'll guarantee that he responds to his emails quickly, because we were a little bit late on the RSVP of the party here, and he let us in the door. So anytime you want to get a hold of Billy, he will catch up with you and stuff. So we talked a couple of months ago, And you're talking about TV time, and the more TV time you get, the better opportunities come along for racing and sponsorships and stuff of that nature. And Joanna's been running closer and closer and closer to the front just about every week. So has that kind of gone hand in hand, or how's that working out for
you? Yeah, it has. And I mean, that's obvious, you know, well, for any sport, for example. I mean, you start doing something well, and people start turning their heads and paying a little more attention. Joanna has really, really stepped up to the plate. She's doing a great job out there. And I tell you what, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. They don't think about it. They see Joanna as a female driver out there and somebody that's challenging, you know, another female driver. We don't look at it that way. She's a rookie driver out there that's never, you know, driven these nationwide cars before. This girl's out there running with the big dogs, you know. I mean, you know, you've got, you know, on a regular basis, you've got 12, 15 Cup drivers in Nationwide Series out there.
Very
and
true.
She's running with them, you know. The girl's awesome. I mean, I have all the respect in the world for her. She's got that will to go out there and win and do well. And we are a small team. I'm not going to deny that. But Mary Louise Miller has done so much for this team. We've got great equipment. You know, we've got ECR engines. We've got Childers chassis. We got good stuff, you know, and Joanna's showing that out there now. So, yeah, when she gets out there and she runs well, people are starting to pay a little more attention. And I think, like I said, I really think that these companies out there, you know, that want to get some recognition, they want to get some branding, they want to get some advertisement, you know, I kind of feel like they're missing the boat if they don't get a hold of us, because this girl and this team is going to shine, and I'm looking forward to it when it happens.
And the Nationwide TV ratings are slowly going up and up and up and up all the time, too. So it is a big marketing opportunity for maybe somebody to want to drop the super big bucks. But, you know, if you got a few big bucks, you want to get some national exposure for your company or your cause or whatever it is, I guarantee you Billy will answer that email, PDQ, for you.
That's right.
And tell them again how to get a hold of you, and 24/7, actually.
Yeah. MLRacing.com. Get a hold of me, just attention Billy Hutchinson or bhutchinson@mlracing.com.
Terrific, Billy. Thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again in the future.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for coming down here and supporting this organization and ML Motorsports.
Anytime. We appreciate it. It's a nice short drive, and you guys are great hosts, so we love coming over here.
You guys are welcome anytime. Come on down.
Thanks a lot, Billy.
All right. Thank you guys very much for coming down.
All right. That was Billy Hutchinson again. Speed Talk with Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner, and Tiny behind the boards. And we're going to have to change things up a little bit because we got a lot of stuff going on. But, Kenny, we're going to go ahead and do your segment now. And do you know?
Do you know, Cliff? I know Cliff. Cliff's all right. But, hey, do you know this week is brought to you by wishforourheroes.org, helping active military men and women all over the world. We thought it was just in the Continental 48. Oh, no, they've been bouncing around different countries and stuff. Go check them out, wishforourheroes.org. Now, this week's Do You Know is a combination of the old 1 Minute with a Mechanic and the new Do You Know segment. I had an old question from July just after my sabbatical that popped in, and this sparked an old synopsis in my brain. Jason Belleville out of Indianapolis, Indiana, who's a faithful listener to The Balance, dropped me this line. And, Cliff, feel free to interject any time.
All right.
I was watching Smokey and the Bandit the other day, and at the beginning of the movie, they had the snowman, Jerry Reed, racing a semi race with his rig. Does this or has this really happened? I see they do it in Europe, but do we do this in the United States? The answer, Jason, is yes, but not anymore. In the United States, it was called the Great American Truck Racing Series. Started in the late 70s, then turned to vapor after the 1988 season. They raced on tracks throughout the eastern half of the country, like the old Atlanta International Speedway. They raced at Pocono. They raced at Ontario. They raced it over Downs, Rockingham, and a whole bunch of half-mile and mile dirt tracks.
Now, wait a minute. This was all with the rig?
Yeah.
The trailer and everything?
No, just
oh, just the truck. Okay.
Itself. No, they didn't. The trailer races are now popular, which is crazy, but not the semi-trailers. But
different, right.
Snowmobile trailers and stuff. That's another whole crazy thing we'll talk about sometime. But at one time, this outfit even had a TV deal.
Wow.
And I remember seeing a little bit of it, Steve Evans and Brock Yates, so they had some, you know, real commentators. It wasn't like Cliff and Kenny trying to do the thing. But these trucks were very, very destructive to the facilities. The racing surface, the walls, the tires, virtually everything that they came in contact with, they just tore up. There are recorded cases of trucks not only hitting concrete walls,
but plowing right through them. You know?
Imagine
so they,
that.
They tore everything up really bad. The trucks were so heavy, they would literally remove the top layer of pavement off of the asphalt tracks. And rumor has it that they tore up a track up in Cayuga, Canada, so bad that it was basically reduced to a dirt track.
Wow.
All that weight, all them contact patches, all that G-forces just tear everything up. So, but like any racing series, technology started creeping in. Tube chassis started showing up. Fields started to shrink. Insurance rates were high. And the biggest problem, really, that met the demise or meant the demise of the series was the asphalt tracks wouldn't let them race anymore because of all the damage they caused. This forced them into a nearly all-dirt schedule, and that pretty much took them out of the public eye.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess I can't picture them on a closed-in facility. I would almost think something like that would be cool on a road course with no walls.
Oh, my God. That'd be scary. You know, these things ran pretty well, too. I mean, there was a guy that was clocked 155, 156 down the backstretch at Atlanta. That's honking. And these things were anywhere from 8,000 pounds to 12,000 pounds. And they didn't have tires for them. I mean, they were on their regular highway tires, which is part of the reason the right fronts blew up and the cars got all tore up, or the truck, excuse me, got all tore up. And it was an interesting concept, and it actually made money in its early years. But when the guys started to try and trick things out and get things more expensive and go tube chassis and do this and do that, that's when things started going south. And like anything, it met the demise of money.
Well, you know, I get into a lot of different sports and racing and things like that, but I honestly do not remember a series like that.
Well, I vaguely remember watching a little bit of it on TV, and we all went, no. So, but there is some spots on YouTube. If you want to go dig around on YouTube, there's a couple video clips of some races. One's on dirt. Another one, I think, is a whole half-hour show, and I forget where it's at. But it definitely did happen, Jason, and they still run them in Europe. I didn't have a chance to do so much digging in Europe, but heck, I won't even go, you know, three counties away a lot of times, so I'm not going to go across the pond and watch a race. But
well, and the good thing is, it would make Obama happy because it's diesel and it's clean fuel.
Oh, Lord, you had to bring politics into this great show, didn't you?
It's all green, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Green racing, baby.
I'm green. And so, you know.
Would you do it? Would
no.
you try it once?
Heavens, no.
Why not?
No. No. You're way too high. Man, you're going to flip. No. Way
so,
too dangerous.
In your research, number one, how did you find out about it?
I knew about it, actually. It took a while for my brain to remember.
Okay.
But
anybody die from it?
Jason's question got me thinking about it, and I got that question in, like, July. So we got to thinking about it, and I just, you know, asked a few questions, talked to a couple guys, and they reminded me of this and that, and I can't give away all my my secrets.
Wow. I mean, that's just amazing. All right, folks, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Mark Gutekunst and close it up. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
I ain't heard that in a while.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
All right, Speed Talk coming back at you again with Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner, Tiny Behind the Boards. We've got to go fast. We'll go right on in. We had a chance to talk to Mark Gutekunst, the crew chief for the number 70 car, and Johanna Long. Let's go right into it.
Hey, we're still at the Red, White, and Blue Barbecue, and we are fortunate enough to run across the crew chief of the number 70, Joanna Long, driven Nationwide Series car, Mark Gutekunst, right? Yay, okay, Mark. Hey, tell us about the season, and then you can probably go on for quite a while because we haven't talked to you all year, but how the season started and the progress and how things are going.
Well, it was basically we went back to season of development. We signed on the new driver, Joanna Long, and we just took it. This is a program we were going to build from. We didn't have very high expectations, but all year long we've met or exceeded everything that we've planned and tried to have goals to do. I mean, we've surpassed about everything, and every week we show up, we get a little bit better. Some weeks we may not finish better or worse, but still, well, it's always a growing thing. And our last run at Kentucky was probably one of our best ones of the whole year as far as the strength of our car. It's just been uphill all the way, but we've been doing really, really well with it.
I'm going to lob you a softball here. One of the things that Cliff and I talk about and we've learned over the years is the chemistry between the crew chief and the driver really has to be strong. I don't know how long you've known Joanna, but it looks to me like you guys are communicating well enough where when she says push, you understand what she really means, and when she says tighten the center, she understands what it means. Has there been a learning curve for that for you guys?
Well, I think it's not so much a learning curve. It's just you get comfortable with the person you're working with. I mean, you start out and you're basically just trying to earn each other's respect the whole while. And once you get the respect of one another and learn that, well, maybe this other person that's giving me advice shouldn't be what giving me advice. And if you know what you're doing, you build along the way. And once you get the trust is when you figure out how to communicate really well. And that's something we've come a long way on. And I think we've gotten really good. And we've definitely turned a corner here recently with it.
That's good. Now, one of the things I've done over the years is I've always been real short track guys, all local stuff and stuff. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this level, because you're like one step away from the big show, man.
Well, first off, I'm going to tell you, I love where I'm at right now. This is a great team. I love what I'm doing with this team.
Good answer,
right now.
Brother.
So, that being said, I don't even think about the next level because I'm so happy where I'm at. But, I mean, basically, I'm 29 years old now. Just like any other guy that's gotten into racing. I had an uncle that was in racing or some family member, and I was 13 years old, and they started sneaking me into the late model garage, into the pit area. I mean, you had to be 18. I was in there at 14, 15 years old. I've just been working on race cars my whole life, and I've always done more than just work on them. No matter what was going on, I was always listening to the drivers, the crew chiefs, anybody talking, just to figure out what makes this guy better than this guy, what makes this car faster than the other one. Sometimes it's the driver, sometimes it's not all the driver. There's so much to learn along the way, and just keep your ears open and stay focused and meet the right people along the way and study and learn everything to do with racing. It's just years of learning, basically.
Now, are there any racetracks that you prefer to go to as others, or maybe in your history, did you have a favorite track that you used to like to frequent?
Yeah, I never try to pick a favorite track, because if you pick a favorite track, you'll kind of slack a little bit when you go there. I mean, you think, oh, we're really good here. Well, no, I love going there. No, you know, every track you have to go wide open, 110%, and try and find a new strategy. If you won a race there the last time, what could you have done better when you go there? That's the way I look at every racetrack. So, I mean, I enjoy going to every one of them.
You know, that's a refreshing answer, because I've talked to a lot of guys who say, oh, we love to go to Martinsville, or we want to go back to our home track here every once in a while because we can just whoop up on them. But it's nice to hear you just like them all and tackle them all.
Yeah, everyone's a challenge, and I love challenges. So it's everyone's a different one every time you go.
Now, do you have your own notebook since you started a development program at least beginning this year, or have you just throw all the notes out, start from scratch, and come up with a setup, and then work from there?
Well, that was one thing that's part of the reason I love this team is we're in Indiana. We're so far detached from everyone. You have to have good equipment, which good equipment comes from people in Charlotte, but you still have to have good people working on it and put it together. When I started last year with David Stremme, we had no notebook, and we've built off of that. And then this year we've actually built with Johanna. Every time we go, we learn something. It doesn't matter who's driving. As long as you're learning, that's what makes you better.
Now, are the driving styles between Stremme and Long similar, different? Have you had to make a lot of changes in that aspect?
They are a little bit. I mean, that's a tough question to answer because, I mean, you go and, I mean, one week a guy will be really good at one track, but he's not good at another one. It's true with David and Johanna. No matter what you do, you just tune to what the driver needs because that race car is their tool for the race. So if you make them comfortable for the race, that's what's going to do well. Sometimes it's not the fastest setup even. I mean, you could put somebody in there that this is the fastest setup that's going to win the race, and they'll run 20th with it because they're uncomfortable. But if you make them comfortable, they'll run 10th. So it's always every week you got to listen to your driver and give them what they need and still try and give them the fastest car out there.
Sure. Well, I just have a question, and I don't mean to break up the flow here. That was pretty good. But you made me think of some things when you talk about two different drivers you work with. But a lot of people don't realize what a crew chief does. I mean, everybody gets a pretty picture of you sitting on top of a laptop, on top of the pit box. You don't just build the car and work with the driver. What else? Kind of let them know what else you may have to do as a crew chief.
Oh, gosh, it's everything. I mean, your first and foremost job is you have it's a team sport. It's not just, a driver, a crew chief, a pit crew, anything. You have an entire group of people that you have to keep happy and pulling the cart in the same direction. That's your first job. you have to have everything in line. Every week I always have a list of things that I want to have done that we could have done better the week before. I try and get up through all of that, and I try and keep everyone happy along the way while still working hard and getting a really good finished product out of it. Specifics as to what you do, I always have the setup in mind. I do the tire data. Everything pertaining to the car I do. But there's a lot more than that, like you said, a lot of psychology.
I'd be in trouble then, because I'm the psycho of the bunch rather than psychologist. Got to motivate them, keep them happy, and keep everybody flowing that same direction. So.
That's what all the great crew chiefs do. Chad Knaus, the last year they were getting ready for the chase and to bring everyone together, they took them all whitewater rafting and said, here, you're going to work as a team or you're all going to drown.
Motivation, baby.
He didn't do it like that. That's the funniest way to say it. But that's what you do. You got to have it because everybody has to do their job. If one person messes up, it can ruin the whole weekend. So.
Sure. Well, Mark, we appreciate you taking the time out of the Red, White, and You barbecue, and we'll let you get back to your meal or your libations or whatever it is that you were having. Thank you for joining us here on Speed Talk, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, again, that was Mark Gutekunst, the crew chief for Johanna Long and ML Motorsports. And Kenny, this show has just gone too fast. So much to talk about. RoosForOurHeroes.org. Catch them on Facebook. And Kenny, we talk about local racing and we talk about things like that, and you found out some information and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, it's another sad day. A local racer that used to drive for my dad, who was one of those guys that showed up every week, in and out, would win you a feature now and then, always competitive, always in the top 10 in points. I just found out today that he passed away about a month ago. His name was Frank Robinson. And we don't, local racers like that is not something you bring up on a national show, but Frank was such a great guy, good racer, good sportsman, and he loved NASCAR. When my dad died in 2000, Frank showed up in a NASCAR leather jacket, one of those really cool ones. I just read his obit today, and the thing that really touched me about Frank, other than he was a great friend, he wanted his memorials sent to Adam Petty's Victory Junction gang camp. So you don't find racers like that anymore. They're just a whole different generation. And Frank, I miss you already and didn't even know you were gone. Rest in peace, brother, and I'm glad I got to know you.
Yeah, it's always sad when you're missing guys like that, because people from the old days, I'm sorry, they still care about everything, not about winning the big money or how many fans you can get or, all that good stuff. And it's nice that grassroots racers like that, that's still around.
Yeah, when Dad died, we had a gaggle of trophies, anywhere from 3 foot to 6 foot high, and I didn't know we had them. We just stumbled across them, so I called Frank and took a couple over to him way back then, and he was just tickled pink.
I bet.
And then I found an old program. In the old days, they used to have the program with a picture of a different racer on the front every week. I made him autograph it. He's 75 years old, can't hardly write. He goes, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "You sign that, buddy. You have no choice."
Well, we'll miss him, man, and it's sad to hear, but and one thing we forgot to do through all this, we have not thanked ML Motorsports or Wish for Our Heroes for the opportunity to spend some time with them.
Yeah, it was fun. Everybody was extremely gracious, good host, good eating, good music, good comedy, good pictures. Joanna's a sport. She puts up with everybody and taking pictures and stuff. That's just a great organization, and I hope somebody comes along with about $20 million so they can go cup racing.
Yeah, again, go back and listen to Billy Hutchison, man. If you want to put your name on a car that's of a name or that's going to be a name coming up, man. She's a hop, skip, and a jump from winning the race, bud.
I think so. I really think so. So, and
we'll be there all the way for her. You know, we teased her. Don't forget us. You know, we had this Trevor Bain guy. He hasn't come back to us now. So don't you dare forget us, because we're close. We'll come over and knock on your door. You know?
That's right. That's right. But Jeff Wells, Billy Hutchison, Mark Gunikus, Mary Louise, and Dane Miller. I mean, the whole organization was awesome. The food was good. The company was good. We'll have to get a hold of them, because I'm not sure how much they raised for the auction, but there was a lot of big bucks going around in that silent auction.
Did you buy that red, white, and blue guitar?
It got out of my league. It was up to about $200. I kept going back and checking. I'm thinking, well, I might go 180.
Yeah.
And then somebody went two something. I'm like, well, I'm done.
Yep.
But they had some pretty cool stuff there. Just a great time. And coming up, you know, we got all kinds of things going on. You and I are going to be down in Winchester, hopefully.
Yep.
The reason I say hopefully is there's a chance of 40% rain on Saturday and Sunday.
I know that's what I said.
This could be an interesting. The good thing is about Saturday, when we're going to be there, is it's supposed to be in the evening. So hopefully that'll hold off at least
for
the qualifying.
They told me I don't have to get there until noon, so I can sleep in a little bit.
Well, there you go. Hey, man, that sounds like a plan to me too. I could use that.
I think we shall.
The ARCA is coming up. We've got two races left there. Nationwide's coming up.
Oh, think about ARCA. They're on dirt. Did you know that this weekend?
They're on dirt this weekend.
At DuQuoin.
Yes, they
NASCAR,
are.
NASCAR, listen up. You know one of your up-and-comers holds the track record at DuQuoin State Fairgrounds on dirt? Ricky Steinhaus Jr.
Yes, he does. That's right. I'd forgot about that. Yeah, I saw that. So
the market is ripe, NASCAR. Feed the gorilla.
RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check everything on there. And Facebook at RadioSpeedTalk. Or I should say Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk or Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Why can't I say that right? I always mess that up. Kenny Barr, you are at on Twitter.
Yeah, at KennyBarr52.
And I am at Radio Speed Talk, too. And by the way, we forgot to announce that our buddy Tiny has helped us out. We are going to have a new affiliate, thefortrocks.com, which Tiny is the boning guy.
I actually turned that on to work the other day. We're getting trouble to run the streaming music, but I have an office, and they shut the door. And I checked it out. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it reminds me of my generation of music. So
right. Yeah, it's good. And if you're from the Fort Wayne area, and it could be anywhere because you could hear it a lot, but 92.3 closed down, and Tiny and some of the guys got together and they started at FortRocks.com. Check it out, and we're proud to be on there. We'll be there at Saturdays at 9 o'clock, correct? There we go. All right, thanks everybody for listening, and again, wish for our heroes and to ML Motorsports. For Tiny, for Kenny, I'm Cliff, and we're out of here. See you next week.
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Well, when you, I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.